What is a mission statement? A mission statement is basically who we are and who we desire to be. It's our DNA. A mission statement is a statement about who OCF is above everything else, that everything flows from our mission statement, that we will be a habitation, that we are a habitation of God's presence within the community. And since I've been in OCF for must be 30 years, is it? Wow. That has been true for us as a church, but it can be true even more so as we step further and further into what God wants us to be. Because I believe passionately that this is what God is calling us to be, a habitation, a dwelling place of the Spirit of God for and in the community. That for me is an expansion of what that mission statement is about. And as we go beyond this talk next week, we're going to have a real focus on the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to move into our values and what our values are all about. But it's the outworking of this mission statement to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And today we're going to be looking at that last part, the community. What do we mean about within the community? What's that, or what is that all about? And in the talk today, I want you to put a little bit of blue tack or a little bit of Velcro behind the words "the," because that makes a big difference to us. To be a habitation of God's presence within community, it's about us as a church, but also God wants us to be a habitation of God's presence within the community, Ormskirk and Skelmersdale, and to the ends of the earth. So for us, it's both of those things. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. Why wouldn't you? I mean, Acts chapter 2 is kind of where it's all at. It's almost the epicenter of the Christian church. It is that moment in the Christian church when our mission statement, it's kind of what it's based on in these moments in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. I'm not going to read it all out because looking at the people here, you probably all know it anyway. But Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit fell. And what's amazing is that the disciples had seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and quite rightly, they wanted to tell the whole world. And Jesus said, "Wait until the Holy Spirit falls on you, and then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And so we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, I'm going to pick out one or two little verses. And I love the bit in 1 to 12 there. It says that they were all together in one place. Don't we yearn for that at the moment? To be all together in one place for the last 12 months. I mean, I've been so blessed because I've been able to get into work. I mean, Jane was saying she's not been fully into work for a year. I mean, I couldn't do that. I think I'd go off my head if I was just like stuck like that. I mean, I don't know how you manage it, Jane, and other people as well. But to be all together in one place, there is something about being, and I've had that many Zoom meetings. I mean, every day I've got two or three Zoom meetings with other head teachers, with colleagues, with staff. Even my assemblies in school are Zoom assemblies. I'm like up to here with Zoom meetings, our Sunday meetings or Zoom meetings. But I do praise God for Zoom. I mean, it's so great that we've been able to do all these kind of things. But there is something different about being in somebody's presence, actually be in their physical presence. And it captures something of God's heart. God's heart is to be in our presence, for us to be in his presence. He wants to be a habitation. His presence wants to live within us. We want to be present with him and present with one another, not about the blessings of things. We've been surrounded by things for 12 months and we've realized they don't satisfy us. It's the blessing of him and it's the blessing of each other, which is the most powerful, important thing. And you know what? All these restrictions that we've had, well, we can't be together, those restrictions are being lifted. They will be lifted. There will be a few months' time when we can get together, but there are countries in this world where that restriction will never be lifted because of the dictatorships they live under. And let's appreciate what we have when we get together. Because there are people who have been told that if you get together, you will die, and we will find out, and you will be imprisoned. And we know that that is happening. And so let's not undervalue what it means to be all together in one place. And these disciples, all together in one place. We are designed for community. It says in Genesis, when God created man, it says, "Let us make man in our image." We were designed to be community because God is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is in fellowship with himself. So we were designed to be in fellowship. And when God said it's not good for man to be alone, he wasn't talking there about marriage. He was talking about community. He was talking about being with others. The heart of God is community. Ephesians chapter 2, 22 says that we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so as leaders, we looked at our mission statement. And at first, we were kind of thinking to be a habitation of God's presence was enough, you know, and everything would flow from that. And we were right. But we just felt when we looked at the scripture, when we understood what God was saying, that within community, within the community, it's so crucial because it's the heartbeat of God and what God is all about. And then as we see these disciples gathering, we see that a violent wind, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit, one of them, the Holy Spirit filled the whole house. And I love that bit. I love the fact that this morning in our prayer meeting, we were talking about this, how sometimes we can put the Holy Spirit in the shed at the bottom of the garden, or maybe buried away in a tiny Sunday morning corner of our house. But actually, the Holy Spirit wants to fill the whole house. And for me, I see the house as being our lives. He wants to fill the whole house without us controlling where he can go and where he can be. The Holy Spirit isn't at the back of the sock drawer, and we just open up the sock drawer, and at the back of the sock drawer, there's the Holy Spirit. Let's get him out for Sunday morning. Let's get him out. And when we want him, when we fancy it. I can remember a story that one of the pastors told in a previous church I was at, where somebody came forward to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She said to the pastor, "And I don't want to fall over, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. I just want," she wanted the Holy Spirit her way. And he said, "I'm sorry, I've got no control over what the Holy Spirit does." And yet we try and control the Holy Spirit. And we say, "Well, Holy Spirit, don't do this, but do this. Don't make me look stupid, but just do it this way." And the Holy Spirit wants to fill the house, fill our lives. And I love that. I love that in there, that it was kind of like God just says, "I want to fill." And so often we see in the scriptures when it talked about the Holy Spirit, it talked about the filling, the fullness, the full measure of God. He wants to fill us right up totally. And I love the fact that he fills the house, but it doesn't say that he left the house, because we're talking here about being a habitation, not a visitation of God. And then we see in verse 4, it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of the community, all of them, not just one or two leaders, not one or two spiritual people, not one or two people who spent the week in prayer, and not one or two people that were just like the prophets or the holy people, but all of them. Can you imagine what church would be like if we were all filled to the full measure of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit just filled us from top to bottom, and then all of us came together. Wow, that would be like the biggest explosion in the world, wouldn't it? And that's what happened here. We see in the pouring out of Pentecost, it wasn't just one or two people. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given." To each one is given for the common good. Can you imagine us coming together and prophesying over one another and giving words of knowledge to one another and bringing healing and bringing signs and wonders and just that joy and the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the overflowing fruit of the Spirit within our community. Come not with empty buckets saying, "Oh, fill my bucket," you know, like a petrol station coming along to church and saying, "I really feel drained, Lord. Fill me at church this morning. Come on, preacher, preach to me. Come on, prophet, prophesy to me." But instead, we come with buckets which are full and overflowing, that we become contributors, not consumers, in the fellowship. We become not just, and when I say contributors, I don't mean just turning up. Yeah, that's not just turning up. I mean coming with a prophecy, coming with a scripture, coming with a testimony, coming with something impassioned within our hearts that just, we can't stop it. And when you look in here at the Acts of the Apostles, we see them, they just spilled over with this amazing dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And they turned into, from a community that was there in the upper room or wherever they were, and it spilled over. And as they were there and they were filled with the Holy Spirit presence, let's see what happens next, because what happens next is really interesting. What happens next from all of that filling and that habitation of God's presence, it overflowed and evangelism happened. Ministry and mission happened. Because it says here in verse 4, as the Spirit enabled them, they began to preach the gospel and declare the praise of God in other tongues, in other languages. And often we try to do things without the Holy Spirit. The disciples wanted to tell everybody about the resurrection, and Jesus said, "Wait for power to come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses." And sometimes God is gracious. You know, we do things, we minister, and we do things because it's good to do. But he'll add to us. Maybe one or two people get saved once every 5 years. But here we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and in one day, 3,000 were added to their numbers. And that's the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit, being a habitation of God's presence, and just doing our best. Do we want to just do our best, or do we want to live God's best? That's all about the Holy Spirit filling us up and enabling us without restriction, without control. Say, Lord God, today, take control and have your way. And then here's the really interesting bit in verse 6. As all of this was happening, and as the Holy Spirit was being poured out through the disciples, it says a crowd came together in bewilderment. I love that word. I love the word bewilderment. I don't even know what that looks like, bewilderment. Oh, whoa. You know, try to imagine what their faces look like in bewilderment. You know, if this was an assembly, I'd be getting you to show me. What does bewilderment look? Everybody show me on your face, because I've got no idea. But anyway, the crowd came together in bewilderment. And it says they were amazed and perplexed. They asked, what does this mean? I love this book. I've been living by this book for a little while. And it's, there you go, Tom. The Provocative Church by Graham Tomlin. Graham Tomlin is an Anglican minister who's actually the head of St. Vitalis College, where Hannah did a theology degree. And I love, there's some quotes in here, but it's called The Provocative Church. And I just want to read that very short quote from his book. And he says this, that the church needs to be a community of people that lives by God's ways, okay, our way of life. A church that lives its life under the kingdom of God cannot help but provoke questions. What does this mean? A church that lives under the kingdom of God, or what we would say is filled with the Spirit of God, cannot help but provoke questions. And when it does, that then is the time for evangelism. That is the time for the simple explanation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened with Karen in the staff room. And that prayer text came through. And then we were praying for Sonali, and then it came through again. And we've been praying as a church. That's the community witnessing to the community. And that's powerful. And that's what the disciples were doing. And there's another quote within this book by a guy called Leslie Newbegin, who was quite a famous theologian. And it's a brilliant quote. It says that the mighty Spirit of God, this new presence creates a moment of crisis wherever it appears. It provokes questions which call for answers. We want to be a church, a community, where people look at how we are and who we are and who is filling us and who's inhabiting us, and to provoke the question, what does this mean? To provoke questions that require answers, because the answer is Jesus Christ. To then point to Jesus Christ and say, this is the community that we are part of. We're called not just to individual salvation, not just to church habitation, but to worldwide transformation. And we do that through the Spirit of God inhabiting us as a church, to be a community that is a habitation of God's presence overflowing into community. And I'm going to finish with a quote from Beth. Is Beth with us? I've lost Beth there. Beth, in one of our meetings that we had, our open forums, so many people said so many fantastic things. I love those open forums. They were really good, really kind of inspired me. But Beth said something in particular which just really stuck with me. And she described that mission statement as taking community into community. And I love that. I love the idea that we take this community that we are, this community of church, that we are. If you remember that that picture that Andrew had a while ago of, like, you know, like at weddings, they have the wine glasses all stacked up like that. And I don't know what that's called. It's like a fountain or whatever it is. And you pour the wine or the champagne or the Prosecco or, you know, whatever you're having into the top glass. And then it spills over into the next two glasses, and then the next three glasses, and the next four glasses. And it spills out. And so the Holy Spirit pouring out into us as individuals, into us as a church, and then into the community, into everywhere we go. So I know that when I go into school where I teach, when you go into your hospital, into the university, into the office, into the family, into the home, into the neighborhood, wherever you go, that you're taking with you not your own little strength, but you're taking with you the Spirit of God and the community. The power of community into community is amazing. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. and that he is making his appeal through us. It's as clear as day. He is making his appeal through not one or two people, not just through Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or whoever it may be. He's making his appeal through us as community. And so as we go into this coming year, I know we've got a building that we're looking at, and I'm so, praise God, it's right in the community. It's right at the heart of the community. So God is calling us within community to be filled with the Spirit, and he's calling us within the community, Ormskirk, Skelmersdale, wherever you go, you are called to be filled with the Spirit as part of this bigger community that's filled with the Spirit. And so today I want to pray that God would lead you and me into a greater depth of revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so what I found this morning is we're going to, in a moment, worship to a song that we do know. And it's a song inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. And I want us to not just worship to the song, but I want us to pray to the song. And I think those of you that have been around for a little while know what I mean. You know what we're like in OCF with our worship. It's not just about singing songs, is it? It's not just about singing songs. It's about praying into being the words of those songs. And so as we sing the song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I want to pray that it would be a welcome here in OCF. Welcome here into not just my life, not just into my home, but I want us to pray that it would be into us as, and I want you to pray that it would be into all the other homes represented in OCF. So as we sing this song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I want you to, the here needs to be into Dave and Jane's home, into Karen's home, into Karen's home, into Sarah's home, into Dave and Chris's home. That as we sing this, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. And then as we do that, I believe that God is going to move into our home. That maybe those who couldn't make it today, you know, those people who are in other places, got other things that they're doing. Lord, you're welcome, Holy Spirit. And then next week, I want us to really have a Holy Spirit focus week, but where we just invite the Holy Spirit to have his way. I mean, have your way this morning, Lord, but I just want us to really say, Lord, fill us again and refresh us again. So let's pray. And then Sarah, after we've prayed, can we go straight into the song, please, that we're going to use for ministry. Almighty God, I want to thank you that you are the Holy Spirit within community, that you want to inhabit us just as you did in the Acts of the Apostles when you fell and 3,000 were added to the number. Holy Spirit, come again. We want to pray for an unrestricted, undistracted filling of you, Lord God, that you would take control, that we wouldn't control you, but that you would control us, that you would take over again into all of our lives, and that you would occupy not just the little Sunday morning corners of our houses and lives, but you would occupy every part of us. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, and we are sorry when we repent, Lord, of those times when we've put you in a box or where we've hidden you at the back of the sock drawer. Holy Spirit, come and fill us again. We want to say we love you, we love you, we love you. And I pray you would raise up within us a new love for you and a new relationship with you, that we will be filled again, Holy Spirit, with you. Lord, we rend our hearts, as we've just been hearing. We rend our garments, Lord, as it were, this morning, that you would enter in, that you would come in. Lord, you died for us, that the curtain would be torn in two. May we not tiptoe on the outside, but we want to enter in again as a whole church community, not one or two of us, Lord, but every single one of us, young and old, Lord God. Lord, enter into us again, we pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Amen. Thank you, Sarah.